The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Lexi Brinkley. I've got Aviana Barrientos, Diamond Gray. Did I say Diamond? I'm so excited to be here. I'm losing my mind already. I've got Autumn Connolly in studio and Faye Alahi, a great group of women here. And I was laughing at the opening because I put my arms like I was on Broadway because I've got performance anxiety after watching such talent in New York City over the weekend. Oh my gosh, that was my first Broadway play on Broadway. I've been to other plays, of course, Broadway plays, but never on the nights of Broadway, and it was insane, you guys. I had such a good time. I saw My Fair Lady and Kinky Boots. So it was an amazing time, and saw a guy got the crap beat out of him over Times Square, over two guys arguing over stupid stuff. But isn't that how guys argue anyway in fight?
Yes.
It's always over something dumb, like, hey, what are you looking at?
What was the weather like there?
Oh, it was amazing. And the New York Marathon was in town. And so there was so much excitement, so much going on. I just love New York. I do. And gosh, I'm trying to, an alarm went off in my alarm in the middle of the night. My two girls, I look over, they're dead asleep like someone has gassed them. And it's, attention, attention, do not leave the building. I'm like, what is going on? You know, but they didn't say why. You know, it was Saturday night, and there was some tornado warnings and stuff. A lot of, but you'd never know it on Sunday. The weather was absolutely amazing. We went to the Upper East Side, the Lower East Side. We were everywhere. We were all over all of Manhattan. We did not leave Manhattan.
How was the food?
Oh my God, you guys, I ate all over. You know what's funny is I feel like I ate my way through New York. I mean, I had the black and white cookie. I had a bagel. I had egg salad. I had a bunch of pickles. I had cauliflower soup. We went to a French bistro. No. I went to lots of wine. I even had a couple of vodka and clubs, you know, club soda. Yeah, we had a blast. The food was amazing. We went to a place. Oh my goodness. It's called Quality Italian. And it is a concept that was developed by the founder of TGI Fridays, I think. Oh. Alan something. Alan, like, not... I'm thinking it's, I don't know, like Rosenberg or something, but that's not it. But we have an amazing show coming up today. We've got Faye Alahi in studio. Haven't had her in studio in a while. So good to have you here. And this is a very important subject. Crohn's disease, and Autumn Connolly is going to be talking about contributing to that as well. And milk contaminants and the utter flaming of the dairy cow industry. I'm telling you, when I saw that, you guys, do you know what I'm talking about? In fact, where is it? I'll put my hands on it. Or should I save it for the... I'll save it because this is so ghastly, if you will, that this kind of stuff goes on in our world. Like, how could we? How could we not take a person that... How is this standard practice? I mean, look at that picture in the cow industry where they put a flame on the udder and the teats of these female cows that are basically imprisoned in these, you know, in these cages while they're just repeatedly milked and milked and milked so we can have everything we want when we want it and throw it in the trash if we want. So don't get me started. At the hotel, there was so much waste, you guys, and you know, you would think in New York the recycling was being a little better. I had to basically walk around with blinders and go la 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 because I couldn't stand all the plastic just being dumped into the garbage. We have got to do something as a country. It's just, it's crazy that we're supposed to be so sophisticated and yet we can't wrap our head around or get organized enough to really take recycling seriously, you know.
Agreed.
It's kind of crazy. And so, you know, we're going to go to break a little bit earlier today, a little bit earlier than typically, because we have Kim Mack Rosenberg coming on. She's going to be talking about the HPV vaccine on trial, seeking justice for a generation betrayed. She is one of the three authors of the book. And we spoke with Mary Holland last week, and we're going to be talking with Eileen Iorio next week. And there's some fascinating stuff in here. I encourage you, if you can't listen now, to go back and listen to the podcast later on our onelifradio.com or Spotify or iTunes, or we're on all of them. So this is a very important subject facing our country, everyone, facing the world, actually. This is a very important subject. We're going to go to break. We've got Faye Alahi coming up next. We're going to be talking about Crohn's disease. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Hi guys, it's me, Bernadette. You know I would never mislead you. When I first heard about the Squatty Potty, I was like, what? And now I can't even imagine my life without it. Get your Squatty Potty at Target, Vitamin Shop, Kohl's, or Costco, or online at SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com. Poo poo pee doo.
Hi, I'm Laura Bell Bundy for PETA. Every summer, thousands of dogs die from heat stroke after being left alone in hot cars. The inside of a car can reach 100 degrees in minutes, even in the shade with the window slightly open. Keep your dog cool and safe this summer. Never leave them in unattended hot cars. If you see a dog alone in a car during warm weather, call the humane authorities, the police, or do whatever is necessary to get the dog out. His or her life may depend upon it. Thank you.
For more information, visit PETA.org.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Did you know there are over 3,000 kinds of snakes? And most, being shy, pose no threat to humans, but they are still feared and killed, even for frivolous fashion. In his poem Snake, D.H. Lawrence marvels at a snake drinking from a water trough. He succumbs to irrational fear and impulsively throws a log at the very animal he admired moments before. He writes, "And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education. And I wished he would come back, my snake, for he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld." This is Ingrid Newkirk with PETA, reminding us it's easy to be kind by choosing fake snake over real skin for belts, bags, and shoes.
Love it. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Lexi Brinkley, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Autumn Connolly in studio and Faye Alahi. Faye Alahi is a psychologist and nutritionist with a private practice in Dallas. Since 2001, she specializes in food allergies, food intolerances, celiac, gluten sensitivity, ADD, ADHD, and autism spectrum disorders. She is also a public speaker, blogger, researcher, and is the author of Ready, Set, eat. Find Faye as well as her book at glutenfreenutritionforlife.com. That's glutenfreenutritionforlife.com or at specialneedsnutrition.com. Today we're talking about Crohn's disease, what it is, and how to control it naturally. So does a bad diet cause Crohn's disease?
No, that's a big myth, Bernadette. A bad diet doesn't directly cause Crohn's, but since our food affects our GI, and the GI indirectly is related to our immune system,
we
get this complex set of events that trickle down from the food that we eat. But directly, no.
No. Okay, so what foods cause a flare-up? You hear about the flare-ups, you know, with Crohn's disease. I know it's very painful, too, isn't it?
It is very painful. It's associated with cramping, with stomachache, with diarrhea, things like that. But foods that irritate your stomach are legumes, beans, anything that's high in fiber can irritate it.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to just ease up on the fiber and have more banana and applesauce and things that are soothing.
Well, so what about exercise? Exercise seems to improve almost any condition or prevent, you know, a lot of different diseases. What about the symptoms of Crohn's?
Yes, because you get the Crohn's flare-up as a result of the immune system being stimulated and inflamed, anything that helps you de-stimulate or unstimulate your nervous system, such as Tai Chi, yoga, just soothing type of exercises will help the flare-ups.
Well, I just got a text from a friend of mine who had Crohn's disease and is now better from it. I said to him, we're covering Crohn's disease today. Any comments? I know that we had already talked about this, but if you can give me something to say, and this is what he said. He said, you are remembering right, because I asked him, I said, didn't your Crohn's lead to opioid addiction, which he's now survived that as well, but because of the pain, or am I remembering wrong? And he said, you are remembering right. The meds help the pain, but they don't motivate you to fix your body and give you a false sense of well-being.
That's very true, because this is very much of a chronic issue, Bernadette. So it comes and goes, but it never really goes away.
Okay.
There's no cure really per se for Crohn's. So people who have been diagnosed, and this is something I want to clarify. Crohn's is not just manifested in one symptom. It is associated with multiple symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can, you have to impress upon people to watch for all these symptoms: diarrhea, inability to move your bowels, chronic pain in the stomach area, and rectal bleeding, for instance. A lot of people with ulcers think that that is only a sign of ulcers, but it's not. So you need to really be attentive to that and not be irritated all the time, because stress does accelerate the symptoms.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So if you're irritated all the time, you have a higher propensity of contracting or getting,
or showing
signs of Crohn's disease?
Exactly.
Okay, so that's very interesting.
Yes.
And everything's related to the gut. I'm going to bring you in on this, Autumn, as a gut specialist, if you will, the inventor of Ether Elixir, which is a probiotic elixir. You have a lot of knowledge about the gut.
Yeah, I do. And I would just say that I think that a lot of times conditions like that are just from an overall systemic inflammatory response. So, you know, and everybody's kind of hit at their own weakest point. So some people's inflammatory response would present itself as, you know, a different condition, maybe, you know, a constant sinus inflammation, whereas other people's presents itself in their gut, you know, in their intestines. And it's just it's a balance. You know, once your body is out of whack, then it's not able to take care of itself and heal itself the way that it ought to. So it allows things to get out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, stress certainly plays a big role in that as well.
It does in everything, doesn't it? We were talking off the air about the importance of living a life that's, you know, where you have peace of mind and happiness. If you're like in a bad relationship, for example, it can wreak havoc on your body and your mind.
Mm-hmm. Sure does. Yeah, that's why yoga or meditation, just a simple 5-minute meditation, can really make a difference.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and I know you agree with that. She's a meditator. She's an earth mama over there. I have a question for you, actually. Yeah. Don't let me forget. I have to ask. Somebody asked me to ask you about how to get rid of fleas naturally. So we're going to talk about that when, you, when you're on, if you have an answer for that. But Crohn's disease was named after Dr. Burl B. Crohn, I'm reading, who first described the disease in 1932, along with colleagues Dr. Leon Ginsberg and Dr. Gordon D. Oppenheimer. Crohn's disease belongs to a group of conditions known as inflammatory bowel disease, IBD, and it's a disease that is a chronic inflammatory condition of the gastrointestinal tract. So how do you fix it? Or how do you prevent it? Can you prevent it?
In my opinion, you could. Anything that really keeps your inflammation down, because inflammation is inevitable, Bernadette. People think that there's only a certain group of people over here who get it, who are predisposed. No, as soon as we have a little bit of, you know, a little stress, a divorce, a bad discussion about something, an argument, a friend who leaves you, relocation, move, things like that happen in everybody's life, and we have stress. So we need to be aware of the symptoms in our body, because everybody shows stress differently. Mm-hmm. So if it's a headache, whether it's a headache or a joint pain or lack of sleep or whatever, you need to kind of be alerted early on so you can prevent, reverse things by, again, engaging in meditation, music, laughter, in my opinion, is the best remedy.
Yes.
Laughter. I turn on some comedy show sometime out of the blue or on YouTube. I just turn it on and I laugh. Out of the blue.
Or just get a sense of humor.
That's right. That's right. Which is harder to acquire if you're not a funny person.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. Well, are there certain or particular people that are more at risk of developing Crohn's disease than others?
Yeah, I think people who eat a lot of food that are spicy, that really irritate the lining, because the Crohn's show up in the beginning of colon and the end of the small intestine. So if you have things that are very spicy or hard to digest, you are at risk.
What about proper elimination? Does that have anything
to? That's absolutely correct. You have to have a good soluble fiber diet. So oatmeal, oat flour, oat cookies, those would be gluten-free ways. Uh-huh. You can eliminate.
A lot of people don't know that oatmeal should and could be, gluten-free.
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't even know oatmeal had gluten in it until, back. It makes sense, though, because the wheat kernel is very similar to the oat.
That's true. What all I recommend is having a certified gluten-free oat that you can buy at Trader Joe's, at Whole Foods, at all the good health food stores.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as long as you have that good organic or certified gluten-free, you're safe.
Well, I'm reading here that cannabis oil may reduce symptoms for people with Crohn's disease.
I'm sure it does. I haven't done it personally, but yeah, I'm sure it does.
Yeah, it says that experts say cannabis oil can be effective and doesn't produce the side effects other medications do. Like my friend that was, they gave him opioids for the pain, and then he ended up getting addicted to the opioids.
That's
it took him years to get off of them.
That's right.
In itself is an incredible story.
It is. We need another show for that.
We do, absolutely. Anything else you want people to know about Crohn's disease?
Just be on the alert. And if you have a little bit of bleeding at the rectum, or if you have stomach pain that doesn't go away, if you have irritation all over the GI tract, in the mouth included, you need to have it checked.
Well, how important, I just thought of another question. How important are prebiotics and probiotics?
Very important. I'm glad you raised that issue, because prebiotics feed the probiotics. So in my book, if you take a good, let's say blueberry, the actual skin and the flesh of blueberry, as well as the seeds, are all prebiotics that have antioxidant effect and anti-inflammatory effect. So if you have the prebiotic at the right dosage, you don't even need to have probiotics.
Wow.
That's how
what do you say to that, Autumn?
I think that, obviously eating a whole foods diet is really conducive to one's overall health. However, with something that would be considered a chronic condition, I always recommend probiotics, because you got to tip the scales a little bit. Mm-hmm. Most people, unfortunately, aren't self-advocating nearly enough for themselves, and therefore they need a little bit of a boost. You know, do you need probiotics forever? I don't know. Not necessarily. If you take a good one, it might colonize in you. Or if you change your lifestyle tremendously to eating a cleaner diet, you know, eliminating as many environmental toxins as you can, doing things to lower your personal stress level, then, you know, the human body is obviously miraculous. And I don't think that it needs a whole lot of external supplement type things. But that would mean that you also keep your life in check in other ways, too.
Mother Nature, I think, gave us everything that we need, but we don't listen sometimes.
That's right.
Cannabis oil is a good example. Absolutely.
Yes,
all right. Well, we're going to go to break because we have Kim Mack Rosenberg coming up talking about the book, The HPV Vaccine on Trial, Seeking Justice for a Generation Betrayed. It's going to be great. You're not going to want to miss it. Faye, it's so great to have you in studio.
Thank you.
We're going to continue talking after Kim Rosenberg about milk contaminants and all kinds of things. So stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Well-Being Journal is a remarkable bi-monthly health publication esteemed by intelligent readers worldwide. It's available in print or digital, single issues or subscription. Its focus is on living a happy, healthy life and preventing or healing illnesses naturally. Preventing or healing cancer, arthritis, cardiovascular conditions, and digestive issues, as well as nutritional solutions for optimal health, are regular subjects. Learn more at wellbeingjournal.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today. Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hi, everyone. It's Bernadette. Everyone knows that I'm a strong believer in the numerous health benefits of cannabinoids and CBD oils. As with any supplement, I always do my research and my homework to find the highest quality product on the market. That's why I'm so happy to announce our partnership with the H Hemp Company, founded by a group of the most experienced and respected names in the CBD community. H Hemp offers a line of innovative products that are all natural and tested for quality. Choose from flavorful oils, restorative body balm, and minty breath spray, all at affordable prices. And for every H Hemp product sold, the company makes a donation towards the fight against opioid and anti-anxiety drug addiction, an epidemic affecting millions of families across the nation today. H Hemp products produce a sense of calm, fight post-workout inflammation, and the company gives back to our community. What more could we ask for? Search online for H Hemp Company and use the code OLR for 20% off your first order. That's OLR for 20% off your first order.
Hi, I'm Bob Barker. This is my friend Benny. Before you buy cosmetics, personal care, or household products, you be sure they have not been tested on animals. Everything from floor cleaner to shampoo is poured into animals' eyes and down their throats. They suffer intensely. Some even go blind. The price is never right for products tested on animals. Visit PETA.org for a list of cruelty-free companies.
Step one, you say we need to talk. He walks, you say sit down, it's just talk. Smiles politely back at you. You stare politely right on through. Some sort.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Autumn Connolly in studio with me and Faye Alahi and a very special guest on the line, Kim Mack Rosenberg. She is an attorney in private practice in New York City. She graduated from Carrollton College with a BA in political science and received her JD from Case Western Reserve University. Kim is the president of the New York Metro chapter of the National Autism Association and was one of its original co-founders in 2008. In addition, she is co-president and treasurer of the Elizabeth Burt Center for Autism Law and Advocacy and is on the executive leadership team of Health Choice, both individually and on behalf of organizations she represents. She has advocated on local, statewide, and national levels on issues concerning both vaccines and autism. She is a co-author of the HPV Vaccine on Trial, Seeking Justice for a Generation Betrayed. In addition to other publications, she also is the author of the Parents Autism Sourcebook and is a contributing editor and chapter author of the book Vaccine Epidemic. Such an honor to have you on the show. Kim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Bernadette, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, you know, I was in New York over the weekend, and I read this book again as I was flying back last night, and I just shake my head at what I read because it's just crazy, some of the content and information that is in your book, and that it's not common knowledge in all over the world, but especially here in America, where we, you know, believe so much in freedom of speech and freedom of information. It seems like this would be something that everyone would at least be questioning. So let me begin by asking the same question that I asked Mary Holland was, why did you write the book?
So I've been interested in vaccine issues for a long time. I have a child who is vaccine injured, and that's how I initially became sort of aware of the issues. But with the HPV vaccine, we began hearing stories of girls and now boys suffering really catastrophic injuries and in some cases death. And these were young people who were, you know, healthy, athletic, right, you know, in the prime of their youth, really, and they would receive this vaccine, and, you know, at some period of time, sometimes shortly thereafter, sometimes it took longer, they really began having serious health difficulties. And, you know, concern about young people in sort of their prime being struck down really resonated with me, and that's how I became interested in it.
Well, it's fascinating, and you guys did a great job doing your homework, if you will. So, you know, how do you know that the vaccine and not other reasons have caused the injuries and deaths that you write about and describe in the book?
So for most of the injuries and deaths that we describe in the book, there is a temporal association with vaccination. So there's something that happened in time with vaccination. And for many of these young people, what would happen is they would receive a vaccine. Sometimes with the first shot, there wouldn't be an obvious reaction, but oftentimes with the second, there would be some reaction. Mm-hmm. And then with a third, a more significant reaction. And that's called challenge-rechallenge. So you give someone the drug or the pharmaceutical product, something happens. You give it again, something else happens. You begin to draw an association between the vaccine and the injuries that are suffered. And these, as I said, also were really, really healthy young people. They didn't have any known serious health issues. And then to develop cardiac issues or autoimmune issues, you know, neurological injuries, where none had existed before.
Well, I'm going to read this out of the book, and this is at the beginning, the endorsements, if you will, from all the other scientists that have read the book. It says, the reader will see the truth. The side effects are underreported by medical personnel, while there are a growing number of parents suing manufacturers and governments for inducing lifelong handicaps, even death of their loved ones. In fact, this is the tragic example of various segments of our society worldwide placing putting economic interests before the health and protection of our younger generation. I congratulate the authors of this book who are showing the world this scandal. And that was from Luc Montagnier, medical doctor, Nobel Prize winner for the discovery of the HIV virus. And I read that because when you read that, you think, oh my gosh, this fine scientist, this incredible scientist is saying this, and yet we aren't paying more attention. Why not?
I wish I could tell you why not, but we do know that, you know, vaccines are considered in, you know, in sort of mainstream medicine as one of the cornerstones of public health. And so there's a mantra that vaccines are safe and effective, but we know that neither of those things is 100% true. They're neither 100% safe nor 100% effective. But challenges to vaccine safety are often met with the response that the person challenging or questioning the safety is anti-vaccine. Mm-hmm. And that really almost brings to a halt a reasonable dialogue, which is what we should be having on these issues. We should be having a dialogue between people who are 100% in support of the program and people who are questioning safety and effectiveness.
Mm-hmm. Well, what for people that don't know, because, you know, there is a lot of confusion because there are, you know, different types of this vaccine. So you've got Gardasil, Gardasil 9, and Cervarix?
Cervarix.
Okay.
Cervarix,
so there's three different ones. Okay, so what's the key differences between these three?
So there are a couple of key differences. Gardasil and Gardasil 9 are both manufactured by Merck. Gardasil was the original HPV vaccine, the first one approved by the FDA. And it contains virus-like particles for four types of human papillomavirus, two of which are associated with cervical cancer and two of which are associated with warts. Gardasil 9 contains nine types of HPV virus-like particles, seven of which are thought to be associated with cancer, and then the same two that are associated with the warts. Those both have an aluminum adjuvant in it called AAHS. It's got a very long name that's easier to just say AAHS, but it's an aluminum-containing adjuvant that's highly immunogenic. It's supposed to really boost your immune response to the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Cervarix is from GlaxoSmithKline, and it contains only two types of HPV, virus-like particles. It contains the same two that were in the original Gardasil that are thought to be associated with cervical cancer. And it also has an aluminum-containing adjuvant, but it's a different adjuvant than the one that's in Gardasil. You can no longer get either Cervarix or original Gardasil in the United States. Glaxo pulled out of the U.S. market, I want to say a year or two ago, and Gardasil has been replaced by Gardasil 9 in the U.S. But in other parts of the world, both Cervarix and the original Gardasil are still available and still in use.
Well, in my mind, the fact that there's three different ones tells me that maybe they fast-tracked it through the system, do you think?
So Gardasil, the original Gardasil, was originally fast-tracked. And that's actually a technical FDA term.
Oh, really?
For how some vaccines and other drugs are shepherded through the FDA approval licensing process. And what that means, it goes along with another type of review called priority review, but it shortens by several months the time period during which the FDA reviews and makes decisions about licensing a vaccine. And it also allows the manufacturer to submit data to FDA on a rolling basis, rather than waiting until the completion of the clinical trials to submit the data.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is such Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. As I say, so Gardasil literally was fast-tracked. Both Gardasil 9 and Cervarix went through a slightly different process, but they've both been on the market for several years now as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's people out there listening that are thinking this. Why should readers take you seriously? Shouldn't they listen to their doctors and the FDA instead of you?
So we are neither doctors nor scientists. That is true. And we don't give medical advice in the book. We don't have any recommendations for people in the book. We encourage people to talk to their doctor about these issues. In fact, we encourage people, and people have purchased copies of the book to give to their doctors. We come at this because we're not in, we're not at the FDA. We are not scientists. We are not doctors. We come to this with, I feel like, an outside perspective. And we worked very closely with some of the leading scientists in the world to do research and to talk about these issues and to look at what is actually there when you dig into the FDA documents and when you dig into the science, mm-hmm. when you dig into information, from the National Cancer Institute.
Yeah, this book, as I said, it's so fascinating. Japan pulling the plug, talking about Japan will not administer this vaccine to its people. Why not?
Well, you can, I believe, technically still get the vaccine in Japan, but it's been de-recommended. It's not on their recommended vaccination list.
Wow.
So you would have to, my understanding is you would have to private pay for that. And it's an expensive vaccine.
Yeah, let's talk about Japan. You have to have three doses of it, right? And isn't it something like $175 or $150 per dose?
So it depends on the vaccine and it depends on your age for how many doses you need. Mm-hmm. Younger children under 15 can have two doses of the vaccine. But if you're over 15, you need three because it's just, according to the manufacturers, it's the differences in how people in those different age groups mount immune responses and how many doses are needed. But it's very expensive. It's about $170. I think that Gardasil is about $120, $150 a dose. Gardasil 9 is over $200 a dose.
Well, gosh, there's so much I want to ask you. It's just endless. So what do you think about the mandates for the HPV vaccine?
I am really concerned about mandating the vaccine for a number of reasons. One, we don't have really very long-term either effectiveness or safety data on the vaccine. It's only been out for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. We know that there are a lot of reports of injuries. Children who are getting it now, we don't know how long it's going to last. If you're 9 years old or 10 or 11 years old, and the best we have is that it may be effective, 8 to 10 years at this point, they think. Those kids are only, 21 or so when it wears off. No one's recommended boosters yet. We don't know if that's coming. But the injuries are also very concerning. And we don't know yet who is really susceptible to those injuries. So requiring this vaccine for, an infection, really, that is not readily, it's not airborne. It's not that readily transmissible. It's concerning to require every school-age child to get the vaccine.
Yeah. Well, and I believe that Mary Holland was saying that there's 1 in 500 children, according to the information that we do have about the vaccine, that 1 in 500 children that have been administered it have had an injury or even resulting in death or suicide because the pain in their lives, both physically and mentally, emotionally, from having their health destroyed at a very young age. A lot of these young people were athletes and just healthy, normal kids that living their life and their health was basically wiped out. What do you want parents out there to understand about the research that you've done to at least make them consider thinking about reading or investigating a little more before they give this vaccine to their children?
Sure. So I think the thing that I probably point out most to people when they say, well, you wrote this book, but what are your sources? And a lot of our sources are materials from the FDA, the actual clinical trial documents, which incorporate materials from the manufacturers. It's information from the National Cancer Institute talking about, how HPV is thought to progress from infection to cervical lesions and onward, and how many of those infections and lesions actually spontaneously regress. It's the vast majority of them. Over 90% of HPV infections will resolve on their own within 2 years. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have an HPV infection. They never know it. They're asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. And even the CIN3 lesions, the lesions that are thought to be the most severe, approximately 50% of those regress on their own.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in the book you say that there was clinical trial malfeasance. That's a pretty strong statement. What do you mean by that, and what do you have to back that up?
Sure. So there's a lot that we found, in the FDA documents, that suggest that there were real problems with the clinical trials. Probably the biggest issue, the most obvious issue, when you look at it, is that there was never, for the Gardasil clinical trials, there was never a true saline placebo given to anyone. The vast majority of people in the clinical trials received as the control the aluminum adjuvant that's contained in the vaccine. Aluminum is a known neurotoxin. There's lots of science on the toxicity of aluminum. So when they're comparing individuals who received the vaccine and people who received aluminum, you're just saying that the vaccine appears to be as safe as the aluminum, but we know that aluminum has issues. So we coined the term placebo to talk about the false placebos mm-hmm. used in the trial. Mm-hmm. There was a small group of children who received something other than aluminum, but it was also not saline. It was everything in the vaccine except the antigen, the virus-like particles, and the aluminum. So it was other ingredients that are concerning for health reasons, polysorbate mm-hmm. 80, sodium borate, which is borax, L-histidine, and yeast. So those aren't inert, benign ingredients either. They raise health concerns.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now, go ahead, I'm sorry.
We also found that, there was something called negative efficacy in a group in the trial. And that means these were women who had HPV infections at the time of the trial and also had indications that they had had prior infections. And they had some real-world risk factors like smoking. Mm-hmm. Those women actually had almost a 45% greater chance of developing cervical disease than the unvaccinated women in that group.
Right. And now they're giving them to boys as well, which is a whole other, we could talk about that for another 15
right.
minutes, but
right.
It's such an honor to have you on the show. And I personally thank you for writing the book. I have enjoyed reading it. It's kind of crazy. I just want to end the segment by reading this out of the book. As Nobel laureate Luc Montagnier reminds us in the preface, the Hippocratic Oath is first do no harm. And I think before we take anything and fast track it to our children, we need to ask ourselves the question, are we going to do any harm at all to our children? So thank you so much. A pleasure. And I look forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Everyone, stay tuned. We've got Autumn Connolly and Faye Elahi coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Hi, everyone. This is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
Sun Warrior believes that plants provide the cleanest and most powerful foods, rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and phytonutrients. Our bodies crave real foods, especially in this age where we heavily process everything we eat, stripping out all of the benefits and nutrition well before we have a chance to even use them. Illuminate your body, mind, and the planet with Sun Warrior. To learn more, visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Did you know pigeons mate for life and are devoted to their families? Their vision is far better than that of humans. They have excellent memories. Their navigational skills are astoundingly complex, and they're able to recognize their own reflection in a puddle or mirror. Eugene Field wrote this tender lullaby. Sleep, little pigeon, and fold your wings, little blue pigeon with velvet eyes. Sleep to the singing of mother bird swinging, swinging the nest where her little one lies. With 8 children of his own, perhaps Mr. Field found in pigeons, with their excellent parenting skills, the same protective, nurturing bond he felt for his own family. This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us it's easy to be kind by seeking help for any injured bird we encounter.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette. I'm here in studio with Lexi Brinkley, Faye Elahi, and Autumn Connolly. See, you got to have a sense of humor. You said
Absolutely.
That. I made you all laugh.
Yes.
That's my job. Okay, well, it's so great to have both of you in studio. I always love it. Autumn Connolly has become a regular on the show as well. She is a self-taught vegan cook. She is a mom of 2, a researcher of all natural remedies, an animal lover, and she teaches free meditation and yoga classes in Fort Worth, where she lives. She has written a children's book and is the inventor of Ether Elixir. She is a wealth of knowledge. Both of you ladies are. So let's talk about milk contaminants and the utter flaming, disgusting practices of the dairy industry.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Okay.
There are all kinds of disgusting practices, you know, and it's honing in on something like the udder flaming. I mean, it really does create a visual for somebody. Like, I challenge anybody right now who's not driving, of course, to Google this image and see what's going on. And it is really, really disturbing. But what I find to be even more disturbing is the fact that it's the least of the concerns, honestly,
right,
as to what's going on in the dairy industry. I mean, there's such a lack of heart in the dairy industry. I mean, even the average person who doesn't really care that much about an animal or whatever would be horrified by the things that go on.
Well, you know, it's so crazy. And I do think it's a mentality. And gosh, I want to say something so bad right now. I do.
Go right ahead.
You know what? I will. Because I don't know if it's relevant or not.
Yeah, it is relevant.
But relevant.
Yes.
I said relevant.
There you go.
There you go. Relevant. You know, hey, New York was fun.
Yeah.
I got home at like midnight.
I had to think about it too.
But, you know, the dairy farm, my first exposure to a dairy farm growing up in upstate New York. But, you know, the guy that tried to rape me when I was 16 years old, he was a dairy farmer, you know, no respect for women, no respect for his cows, probably too. I know that's a far reach, but what'd you say?
No respect.
No respect.
None. Right.
Right.
No, that's honestly what's going on is a lack of respect. And from a common sense standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint, from pretty much any sort of, a give and you shall receive sort of standpoint, if you are treating the animals with such disrespect and expecting to receive some sort of nutrition from the food that they produce, I mean, you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know where to begin because there's so much junk in the milk. Mm-hmm. I know, Faye, you're anti-dairy as well because of all the
pasteurization.
And so one of the first things you recommend to children suffering with ADD, ADHD is to go no dairy, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. No dairy is often it's often, I don't want to say a cure, but it's often the first step to see a significant health improvement in pretty much anyone.
Okay, so people are listening and saying, why? Why is that?
Well, because there's all kinds of junk in it. I mean, let's take away the angle of just the fact that we are adult, you know, even unless you're a baby, you don't need to be consuming milk. Milk is a baby food. Mm-hmm. And even so, even human breast milk, that is for babies. That is not for adults. And cow milk then is not for humans in the first place. And it's certainly not for adult or adolescent humans. Mm-hmm. The enzymes that we need to digest milk properly, they actually even go out of our bodies by the time we're age 4 or 5. So it's not even something that we're meant to be consuming in the first place. And then the way that it's been industrialized with the excess, you know, the more mentality that we all have, you know, we want the calcium that it has. Well, guess what? The calcium that's in milk is highly unabsorbable. And even if it were absorbable, your body can't even digest that amount of calcium in one sitting. So it's totally just the marketing that surrounds the dairy industry is honestly genius. Like, that's what I will say.
Yeah. Got you know, milk.
Yeah. But other than that, when you look at the real facts of what it's offering you, it is so toxic. It comes from such a negatively impacted spiritual standpoint or emotional standpoint. And then on top of that, it's not right for our bodies. So it's not even doing the good that it could be doing because it's not in a package in the way that our body receives the nutrition.
Well, you know, and it disrupts your hormones as well, doesn't it?
Because
because I'm reading here that in the milk sold in America, these levels are even more exaggerated. This is due to the practice of artificially inseminating dairy cows just days after they have given birth so as to keep their milk production high. The result is that the cows are milked during the period when they are releasing the highest levels of hormones into their milk. And it talks about Dr. Davasama Bu of Harvard University shares her concerns that this practice may also be increasing risk for hormone-driven cancers in America.
Well, you know, and that has a lot to do with the radionuclides that are in. I mean, so these are like atoms with excess energy charges in them, and it's all because of the way that they're chemically treated. And so what you're basically doing is you're consuming something that has a low level of radioactivity in it, and that energy is going to burn off of it somewhere. And if it burns off in your organs, it's just creating a field rot for cancer.
They say that it's highly addictive, too. I'm reading here that surprisingly research has shown detectable amounts of compounds identical to the narcotic opiate morphine in cow's milk. A study of the morphine found in milk has confirmed it has identical chemical and biological properties to the morphine used as an analgesic. A plausible assumption is that all mammals produce this opiate compound to make sure that their offspring returns to the breast to acquire essential nutrients and to bond with their mother, which, of course, so many calves are taken from their mother immediately in the dairy industry. These poor animals don't even get to, you know, lick their babies for more than like an hour in some cases, or hour or two.
Or even see them.
It's terrible. I mean,
it is terrible.
It's so corrupt. It's so mean-spirited. It's so god-awful. Like, why do we continue to do this?
It doesn't benefit us. And in fact, it hurts society in a major way. You know, take away any sort of, you know, emotional impact. Look at the physical impact of it. So we're doing something. We're going out of our way to harm these animals and to release all this negative energy into the world for something that doesn't even cause us, you know, any sort of benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a strange thing.
It's just all of it just so awful. I'm gonna talk here. This was on the dodo, which we all love and appreciate. The dodo, talk about, you know, finding light and love and just happiness, something that makes you smile. I love the dodo. It talks about people actually put open flames under cow's udders. Udder flaming is a dairy industry practice that involves passing a large flame beneath dairy cows to burn off the hair from their udders. Farmers say it feels like a passing of your hand through a flame, but unlike this scenario, cows aren't voluntarily passing their bodies over fire. The cows aren't too keen on flaming udders, one commenter wrote on an online dairy forum, but then said that the cows don't really notice. I don't believe that for a second.
Crap. Can we talk about the fact that flaming an udder would be a much different body part anatomically than your hand?
Let's put a torch over your nipples, okay? Men and women alike, and let's see how that feels, right?
And you know what the strange thing is? It's to reduce the bacterial impact to reduce bacteria. But the hair that is actually there on the udders is there to prevent bacterial growth. The problem is that these places are so filthy that the hair actually does collect bacteria. So it's actually, you know, just another example of the industrialization creating more problems.
Mm-hmm. Than good. Mm-hmm. It's disgusting. And if you check out our Twitter, One Life Radio One, you'll see I put the image, and it's just this row of all men, just saying, all men sitting there being taught how to do this. And then there was a case in Florida. I moved it. Hold on. It was in Florida, and these two guys are going to jail in the dairy business for doing just that, and then taking the flame and putting it in the cow's face and beating them with a PVC pipe. Aww. You know, when you've got people that are so... Okay, I got to stop because I gotta end the show. All right, we'll talk later. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.